In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. So maybe it's because we flew to Armenia through Paris, and we saw all of these posters and hoopla and ads on our infotainment screens in the plane, but I am looking forward to the Olympics in Paris more than I usually do. The opening ceremony is this Friday. And there's much to like about the Olympics, especially in Paris. The French know how to put on a party. They're good at design. They're good at elegance and putting on a show. And plus, as Armenians, they've been our most vocal supporter in the world of our countrymen in Armenia as we evolve into an independent state. And the games themselves also do a bunch of things which I think are on the whole positive. They exhibit great values like hard work and fair play, and they bring us knowledge of other cultures and countries. I have to imagine that there are many, many people around the world who will discover for the first time that there is a country called Armenia and people named Armenians by watching the Olympic Games. But now, of course, because we live in a fallen world, the Olympics also has a shadow side. Many cities don't want to host the Olympics, right? Because of all the problems that come with it. The cost of security against terrorists who want to blow people up. The cost of massive venues and buildings that are used once while the rest of the city still has a bunch of people living in poverty. And in Paris, the target of controversy has been the Seine River and whether it's too polluted to host the water sports. And I saw just yesterday, 2 days ago, that the mayor of Paris swam in the river to prove its safety. Whenever there's that kind of PR stunt, you can't trust that. And as of now, she's doing okay, but let's see if she makes it to the closing ceremonies. Suffice to say, the Olympics come with a worldwide spotlight, right? And it highlights the best achievements of humanity and as well as the skeletons in our closets. Well, it just so happens that today's assigned Bible reading is about the Olympics. And we see, or it references, sports in the Olympics. And we see that over 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul was also an Olympic watcher to some extent. And we don't know if he thought it was more a good thing or a bad thing, because he didn't really speak in those terms. For Paul, the Olympics, as anything in this world, was a human endeavor that properly understood reflects the glory of God and the potential goodness of God's creation. And so today we'll look at the Olympics through Paul's spiritual eyes, and I think that that will inspire us of the one true way to get ourselves and our world in better shape, both physically and spiritually, as we take in this four-year spectacle. Paul begins with a many-verse comparison between the physical and spiritual athlete. And he has this very powerful metaphor, which you've heard before, where he says that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And I think the Olympics can reaffirm for us this first part of Paul's statement that the body is a temple. Our bodies are truly amazing if you stop to think about it. It reflects great design and an even greater designer. The athletes in Paris this year will remind us that with discipline and sacrifice, with 8 hours a day of training, the body can do things we might never imagine. It can bike 150 miles. It can swim 50 laps. It can run 26 miles. But our bodies aren't just great machines. If they were great machines, and the purpose in life was just to be efficient, then we would look more like those aerodynamically designed robots they have now, with a thin and flat head and thinner, lighter legs and a lower center of gravity. Apparently, we weren't just designed to be efficient. We were also designed to be beautiful, like a temple, to balance with perfect symmetry with a handstand on the balance beam, or to dance around the mat in the air like a bird. But of course, beauty also isn't all that we're designed for. more than being strong and enduring like a temple, and more than being beautiful and symmetric, our bodies are like temples in that they're designed to hold and point to something even greater than themselves. And that's why we call St. Hagop a temple, right? It's made of the exact same building materials as any other place. We just changed the roof, right? It's the same roof shingles as you'd use anywhere else. But everything in this place, from the cross on the roof to the kneelers on the floor, point to the greater purpose of God. And this is the depth of what Paul is saying about our bodies, that they point to a much higher purpose. We are temples of the Holy Spirit within us, which you have from God, Paul says. And as often in our Christian walk, this idea is simple, but actually trying to put it into practice, that's revolutionary. Think of what would happen if we took this passage to heart and if we dedicated 8 hours a day, 365 days a year, to making our bodies, our lives, a temple in which God wishes to dwell, a place of truth, a place of humility, of service, of worship and gratitude. What would happen if we combined the determination and perseverance of a gymnast like Simon Biles, or a swimmer like Kate Ledecky, but not for ourselves, not for our fame, not for our glory, but for the glory of God? A very few individuals have done this in life. The saints have finished the real Olympics, which aren't just of the body, but they're also of the spirit. And it is this spiritual race which the Apostle Paul calls on us all to complete as he concludes today's passage and goes further into chapter 9. Paul writes, "Athletes exercise self-control in all things, and they do this to receive a perishable garland, a wreath that they used to give instead of gold medals. But Paul says, we pursue an imperishable one, a garland, a crown of flowers that does not perish. So Paul says, I don't run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body so that after proclaiming God's glory to others, I myself should not be disqualified from this greater race. And so therefore, in these next weeks, as we marvel at the discipline and the commitment of the world's great athletes in the Olympics, let's also be inspired to be strong and beautiful in body. Go ahead, take that extra run around the block and do a few cartwheels in your living room. That's good, but don't stop there. Because ultimately, the body points to God's highest purpose, to become strong and beautiful in spirit, to have to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, which are love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For this, as Paul reminds us, this is the great and glorious race. This is the way, this is the truth, this is the life, which we must train for in this world so that we might rise up to be crowned in glory in the one to come, now and always, and unto the ages of ages.